listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
As John was inspired to write it, reading many of the words of the Lord Jesus as he spake to Nicodemus, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Let's give thanks for these words, and pray that we'll have the spirit that Christ spoke of, that we might see the kingdom of God, as the Lord Jesus speaks of it, that we might also be made willing to enter the kingdom of God, as he speaks of it as well, that we might believe the gospel, as Christ spoke of it, and we might believe his word also concerning ourself as evil, as hateful of the light. And then the wonderful end, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, they are wrought in God. That is a reconciling with God through Christ. Let's pray that it might take place in the life of many, and that in the church it might be revived. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given from creation, even by thy Son, by whom thou dost make the worlds, and by whom the world is upheld by the word of his power. We give thanks for all that was done through thee, Lord Jesus, as Micah could say, whose goings forth have been of old, and that thou, Lord Jesus, would then be born in Bethlehem, taking on thyself the form of a man, entering into the way of humbleness, entering in the way of not only becoming a man, even while thou didst not think it robbery to be equal with God, but going to that terrible place of cursing, taking the curse for us on the cross. And as it is stated, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We pray that we might know that we deserved that curse, and thou dost do it for us, and that in believing on thee we will not perish, but have everlasting life. We pray that thou wilt teach us these things, Father, not leave us to ourselves, not give us over to a reprobate mind, not give us over to a wicked, proud spirit, as we seem to be going into so much, even the church being assaulted, have lost its savor, being walked over in our nation and in much throughout the world. And we also pray, Father, for those who are not assaulted, have lost their savor, but are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. We pray that they might be truly blessed, as thou hast said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Father, though on the one hand it is a terrible thing, on the other hand, how much better it is for them than for us, if we are that salt that hath lost its savor, if we are trodden under the foot of men without them even seeming to know that there is a church, there is a truth that should be spoken and preached to every creature. And we pray that the church might be so revived and increased that it will soon be preaching the gospel according to thy command, Lord Jesus, to every creature. We pray that many laborers might be called, and those that are called may be blessed. We pray that thou would give us today the right message for the church, for the world, for Jew, for Gentile, for all men, women, children, homes. Also, Father, for the broken homes, that they might hear the message of thy word, that they might know that thou art the potter and they are the clay, and they might be made to ask that thou wilt mold them and make them according to thy will, and not everyone doing that which is according to their own will, not submitting to thy word. And we pray that both the church and the home might be taught these things as thou hast given them concerning our homes, concerning marriage, concerning divorce, concerning remarriage, and all that thou hast spoken against it and of it and by it. We pray, Father, that thou wilt teach these things to us in such a way that we will be made to tremble before thee. And even as Paul was described, trembling and astonished. We pray, Father, for those who need thy healing hand in the body. We pray for those, both those sick and injured. We pray for those in hunger, homeless, the war-torn lands, the sorrowing, the elderly, the lonesome. We pray especially for the children in the troubled homes. We pray for the schools. We pray for our leaders. Pray that thy fear might be put in the hearts of our leaders, that they will have the beginning of wisdom and not continue in our way of foolishness and self-destruction in our nation and other nations that are destroying each other even more in civil strife and the terribleness of it. We pray, Father, that the gospel might come in its power for thy glory and for our present and eternal good, and for the good of the rest of the world, all through Christ. Amen. We have here Nicodemus coming by night, evidently fearing others. Many are ashamed of being identified with Christ. It is in one way a fulfillment of what Christ said. Men love darkness rather than light. Want to stay in the dark. That sadly happened soon after creation. Adam tried to hide from God. Hid himself among the trees. Want to stay in the shadows. And that's where we are. On the one hand, we want to think we're right. On the other hand, there's no excuse for thinking it because we want to hide. And we want the darkness. We do not want to face the light. And even as Christ said so plainly, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. And we all do evil. All of us. The psalmist said, God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand. If there were any that sought the kingdom. If there were any that did good. And there was none. No, not one. All evil. And that's where we have to hear the message. And sadly, though the word is plain, in our pride, we need the Spirit to open our eyes. We need the Spirit to do, as Christ said so, almost abruptly, to Nicodemus. Nicodemus giving that introduction. Thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. He said, we know, as if he understood. Christ said very plainly, and as I said, almost abruptly, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And along the way, Nicodemus soon proved that he didn't see the kingdom in God's way. After the Lord Jesus had thus spoken that to him, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Didn't know how he could be born again. He saw it as natural. And then after the Lord Jesus again answered that, and the second time spoke about the new birth, even from a different perspective, Nicodemus answered, how can these things be? So he was in ignorance. Even though he said, We know that thou art a teacher come from God. We know your teaching is right. And now he learned that it was right. Probably for the first time in his life, even though he was, as Christ said, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? He was a Pharisee. He probably had education, much like Paul is described later, first Saul and then became Paul, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, was taught by other Pharisees. All the scribes, Pharisees, leaders, were taught so they could supposedly teach others and become a master. There are those today who have the degree called a master of divinity, but not always do they know the need of the new birth. We've mentioned some before, Thomas Scott, there with the one that wrote the song that we sang at the beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thomas Scott, John Newton's neighbor, didn't want to hear that. But God made him hear it. Gave him evidently the new birth. Made him like a little child, as Christ said, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. This master in Israel had to become like a little child. Learn the first things about the kingdom. The first thing is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus would give that message. He would give another part of the message of the new birth. He would give the gospel in different ways, by type, and the actual God giving his Son. He would give the description of us in two ways. One is the terribleness of our natural way, and then the wonder of what can be unfolded if we are born again. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. First we have to learn they're wrought in Satan. The works of your Father you will do, Christ said. It's recorded in chapter 8. And as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, walking according to the course of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan is a God-hater. And as Christ said, the works of your father, the devil, you will do. Just like him. All of that is part of the whole of the background here. And part of the whole of the way of reconciliation with God. Reconciled through the truth. Reconciled by the Spirit opening eyes and opening hearts. Sometimes we hear preachers that speak of 3 points as if that's necessary. And sometimes they even say it kind of kiddingly. I don't know where it started. I don't hear Christ speaking of 3 points. I just see him beginning to preach the truth and going from one part of the truth to another till he has the message complete that Nicodemus has to hear. There may have been more that Christ said to Nicodemus than recorded here. We can read that in a very short time, these words given by Christ, and more likely that there were more, but the Spirit inspired John to write what he wanted us to know. And what we don't have here, we have in the rest of Scripture. We have Paul speaking of regeneration. We have Paul writing to the Ephesians of God quickened them together with Christ. And we have Paul's words in Romans, that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we have the whole of the message through the whole of Scripture. And that's why we need to continue in the Scripture, as Christ said to the Jews who were described as believing on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples? Then you are showing a willingness to learn. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. He said it to people that weren't willing, who rebelled, who said, we aren't in bondage. We aren't sinners. We aren't in the way of sin. Christ said, whoever sins is bondage to sin. They denied it. They thought they were children of Abraham, and many do today. We call it the Abrahamic covenant, and think that we are different if we are born in such a situation or such circumstance. But we have another place earlier that John wrote of the new birth, and in it he says, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's what the Lord Jesus is speaking of here. God, the Holy Spirit. We must be born of Him. And we could take 3 points of the new birth here, the gospel, and then probably the call to repentance in the end. But we can make it just as well 6 points. We have 2 kinds of need for the new birth. One to see and one to enter in. We have 2 kinds of descriptions of the gospel. One in type, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then out of that, in continuance, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we could say there's a point of the description of our sinfulness, the awfulness of it, especially the sin of unbelief. The last part of verse 18. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then that very, very strong statement in verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That does away with God foreknowing who would be good, foreknowing who would believe. He says, everyone hates the light. Hates the light. Hates the light. That's why we must be born again. So that hatred is recognized and taken away. Submission and love are there in its place. As David already said in the Old Testament, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. God's power in giving the new birth. And not as some have said so terribly wrong. God is powerless unless you let him. That's a lie about God. It's a lie about ourselves, because then no one would ever be saved. No one would be willing in himself. We do not have a powerless God. We have a powerful God in creation. We have a powerful God in giving the law. So powerful that when he gave it, people said, don't let God speak with us, lest we die. And we ought to know that today. That if God only speaks to us through his law, we will die and be punished. Because everyone that does not continue in all the things written in the book of the law will be cursed. Cursed is everyone that continueth not. The way is open. The Old Testament prophets wrote of it. Christ said it. But no one enters in. And Paul could say, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. But by the law is the knowledge of sin. All of that is part of the kingdom of God that we must see. It's very informative that we have to both see and enter in. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What happens when the Spirit comes? What happens when God gives the Spirit to open our eyes? We see the kingdom of God. Where are we? outside of it. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of righteousness. And when we are first awakened, convicted, taught by the Spirit and by the Word, here we read, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he talks further of being born again. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Nicodemus even realized he couldn't be born again by the flesh. He says, how can a man when he is old enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I think we all know that's impossible. But one thing Nicodemus did know, that there was a second time. People like to argue and say, well, it just means being born from above, not born again. It is both. We must be born again. The first birth is not sufficient. The first birth is of the flesh. And as I quoted earlier from John 1:13, who were born not of blood, not through your parents. You aren't born into the kingdom of God because you may be born even of Christian parents. They can only bring forth a sinner. That's all. That's all they can give you. One that has died in Adam. That's all Adam can give you. We must have the second Adam. We must have Christ. And as I said in the beginning last time, that we must have the Spirit revealing Christ. As Christ said just before his death, he will take the things of mine and show them to you. He will not speak of himself. And as we have other places, Paul speaking of Christ being revealed to him. You must have that. That must be the end of the work of the Spirit and the end of the message of the Word. That you are made willing to hear the gospel, to know your need of it, and to receive, believe the gospel, as Paul said, and you will be saved, 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 as Christ also spoke of it, but that the world through him might be saved, in the last part of the 17th verse. You must be saved as much as a drowning man must be saved, or he'll drown and die. We are drowning in our sin. And we need to have the Spirit come and open our eyes so we see where we are, lost. The kingdom of God, holy and righteous, we sinful. Christ alone, the Savior.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.